Those of you who have ever taken or taught evening classes know how hard it is for everyone to stay awake through them. As a community minister in New York City, I taught in a number of different settings, including a psychotherapy institute in Midtown, which offered a year-long continuing education program for clinicians and granted a certificate in spiritual approaches to treatment. One of the evening classes I taught there was a module on 12-step spirituality, and it was perhaps my favorite, an in-depth exploration of one of the most significant spiritual movements in America today. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which later got adopted and modified for other anonymous recovery programs, provided people a structured framework in which they could admit their powerlessness over their problems and turn to a power greater than themselves for help. A founder of AA famously called the sequential steps to recovery a spiritual rather than religious program that would lead to its practitioners having a spiritual awakening themselves. As engaging as this 12-step material was, my adult learners were frequently as bleary-eyed as they were curious. They worked during the day and took classes at night, woke up early, and stayed up late. One year, I also had a student living with a serious degenerative ailment that put her on disability and left her exceedingly fatigued. She was wheelchair-bound and had limited mobility and lesser strength. Each session, she was attended by the healthcare aide who was her near constant companion. He helped her navigate the doorways and elevators, but also her days and nights. We can call him Jay and call her Leah. Jay was a younger Black man in a room of mostly older white women and perhaps the most eager learner of them all, even though he never enrolled and instead audited these classes. Leah was declining rapidly then. She needed more and more of his assistance, and she was getting rather near to the end of her life, a fact she grappled with openly in our discussions. Jay took notes for her, but he also took note of her predicament. We all did. It became part of the curriculum that year. In his book, Breathing Underwater, Spirituality and the 12 Steps, Franciscan priest and popular teacher Richard Rohr writes, "Deep communion and dear compassion is formed much more by shared strength than by shared pleasure." He points out how countercultural the 12 steps are in a larger culture that places a premium on accomplishment, mastery, achievement, success. The steps start with an acknowledgement of our own struggles, be they physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Struggle is the point of departure, where the spiritual journey begins in earnest. Those among us who feel terribly lost understand this journey must be undertaken, while others among us may consider it optional. But our contemporary culture is so disorienting, Father Rohr explains, that we cannot help but be lost and alienated from ourselves and one another. We do not need to have problems with alcohol or overeating or gambling to need a more spiritual approach to living. According to Father Rohr, substance addictions like alcohol and drugs are merely the most visible forms of addiction, but actually we are all addicted to our own habitual way of doing anything, our own defenses, and most especially our patterned ways of thinking, particularly about our individual agendas for satisfaction. Effectively, we are addicted to a kind of false certainty about our lives, to our delusions of control, to our claims to power, and to our plans for happiness. As a result, he contends, we have repetitive, obsessive thoughts about our own schemes. Only when they are scuttled beyond all recognition do we seriously reconsider the wisdom of them. Father Rohr outlines four core assumptions about Americans. First, that we are all addicts in our own way. Second, that obsessive thinking is our universal addiction. Third, that our society is, as he puts it, addicted to itself and creates deep dependency on it. And fourth and finally, that altering our consciousness is the best option for our gaining spiritual independence from an ailing culture. There are shared and agreed upon addictions in every culture and every institution. These are often the hardest to heal because they do not look like addictions, because we have all agreed to be compulsive about the same things and blind to the same problems, he explains. These same problems, though, also create our shared pain. As Father Rohr observes, all mature spirituality in one sense or another is about letting go and unlearning. We start to learn the lessons that real life is teaching us day after day. It is not chronological maturity, he notes. It is how you've dealt with the dark side and how successfully you've dealt with disappointment, betrayal, abandonment, failure, and rejection. That's a rather advanced study in living, the level at which spirituality and recovery become synonymous. How you do life is your real and final truth, he concludes, not what ideas you believe. Father Rohr tells the readers to whom he has dedicated his book to be fully honest. Your hearts need to be broken and broken open at least once to have a heart at all or to have a heart for others. What 12-step spirituality helps us all recover is our common humanity and our honest limits. What it relieves us of are faulty beliefs about all the ways we might be exceptional and entirely in control. The ongoing pandemic has become an accelerated course in how to admit our feelings of being helpless without mistaking them for our somehow being hopeless. Our enrollment in this course has been automatic. We can no longer deny that we all need help. The so-called serenity prayer that AA popularized is now well known almost everywhere. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It is a petition not just for serenity or even sobriety, but for sanity in a world that often seems insane. This is a prayer I have said every day for almost the entirety of my adult life to the God of my understanding. 12-step spirituality involves daily prayer and meditation because any recovery program, one where people regain their sanity and reclaim a sense of the possible and also have a vital spiritual experience, is lived one day at a time. Lecturing from the front of that classroom in Midtown Manhattan, I felt honestly ridiculous telling Jay and Leah that they should try to take life one day at a time. Honestly, how else could they take it? Sitting in her wheelchair in her weakened state, Leah had an immediate experience of powerlessness, and Jay was her intimate witness. Leah was not going to use this coursework to enhance her clinical practice, which she had largely given up. She had little use for a certificate. She was going to use these spiritual approaches to navigate the rest of her life, and Jay would keep pace with her. At some point in the academic year, it became obvious to myself and the other instructors that we would be granting a certificate to Jay as well as Leah. While he might not be a licensed clinician, he was an extraordinary helping professional who already practiced what we preached. The rapidly growing sentiment of Americans who identify as spiritual but not religious consists, I believe, of people yearning to have an authentic spiritual awakening of their own. But those in anonymous 12-step recovery understand that, as they say in AA, the spiritual life is not a theory, but a holistic practice. It involves people having both a corrective program that they work and a supportive fellowship that they keep, so that they might together be freed of a few habits and expectations that no longer serve any of them well. It involves them undertaking a spiritual journey of progress instead of perfection. Some of us will undertake these journeys in our faith communities. Others of us will undertake them in regular AA or NA or Al-Anon meetings. Still, others of us will undertake them for a span of time, at least, in a classroom, very late in the day, when we are tired and struggling to stay awake, and still determined to learn how to finally put theory into practice.